This is Sunday Conversations. Sunday Conversations is a presentation of Davis Broadcasting, Inc. in cooperation with Russell Innovation Center for Entrepreneurs, a 501c3 nonprofit organization.
Hello, and welcome to Sunday Conversations on Smooth Jazz 101, Smooth Jazz 100. I'm your host, Ashley Scott, the Internal Communications Manager at the Russell Innovation Center for Entrepreneurs, and today I'm here with David Haley of Countify. Hey, David.
How you doing? It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, thank you for being here. I'm doing well today. First off, I want to know, how did you get on the entrepreneurial journey? How did you decide that being a business owner was for you?
So I've been in corporate America all my life. Worked right out of school, worked in an accounting firm, then worked in the airline space. And it really started when just recognizing a problem, counting inventory. As an accountant, you count inventory all the time, at least on an annual basis for various clients. And then when I went to the airline industry, still worked on that same counting, very manual counting process. And so there's so much time and effort in and inefficient processes, I figured there has to be a better way to do this. And so my entrepreneurial journey was really solving that problem. Like, how can I solve that problem of manual accounting, making those manual processes more efficient, more streamlined, and that's how Countify was born.
Now, I'm always curious, people see problems in businesses all the time, but what made you feel like you were the person to solve this problem? You're an accountant, you got a corporate job. Why do you feel like you were the person who could come and create this AI solution?
I think I intimately understood what the problem was and realized it wasn't just an issue at the company I was working at, but it was also an industry-wide problem. So I was like, hey, if I can solve this, if I can figure out a solution, an enterprise-level solution, then it might be scalable and not just, you know, applicable at the company I'm at, but also other companies around the world.
So when you got started, what were some of the challenges that you faced as a brand new entrepreneur, someone who's obviously entering into an industry that, while it's counting based, also has this really innovative side? So were there challenges with that learning curve?
There's a ton of challenges. I mean, still challenges today. From day one to day 800, like, there are a ton of challenges all the time. I think the first part was, how can I find, because I'm not technical, right? And we are an AI computer vision based company. And so it was the first part of, how can I build a solution? And how can I find a team that can help me build a solution? Because even though I understood the problem, I did not understand how to build it or what the technical aspects of what the technical aspects were needed to build a solution that could be ready for enterprise level clients. And so the first part was, one, understanding what other solutions were in the industry, mm-hmm. what other people were doing, what other companies were doing, and then how could I have a product or, you know, a solution that very specifically solved the issue that I knew companies were having.
So how did you find that team? How did you go about getting to the people who could meet the needs that you didn't have the answers for?
Right. So, I mean, being in Atlanta, there's a huge technical base of talent. And so, and now the, you know, the world is flat. So it doesn't have to just be in Atlanta, but you can also have people that can solve technical problems all around the globe. And so it started off where looking at companies that were doing something similar in the AI and computer vision space. What were they doing? What kind of talent were they recruiting? How are they recruiting? So luckily, I mean, obviously we're in Atlanta, so Georgia Tech is right here. There's a large basis of computer science, computer developers, engineers, electrical engineers that are here that you can have conversations with. So the first thing I did was actually join ATDC, which is a program at Georgia Tech, to talk about starting a company. How can you discover the right customer? How can you make sure you can have the financial viability to start a company? And then how can you build a team? So those are two classes, or two or three classes that they have that, you know, as I was still working a full-time job and knew that I wanted to solve this problem. So starting there was actually step number one.
Getting that continued education to really make you well-rounded in this new pursuit, really.
Right, or just making contacts. And I had never started a real business before. So building the network of entrepreneurs, right? So, you know, I had been in corporate America my entire career. And so I was not hanging around or was not in an ecosystem that was entrepreneur friendly, right? And so getting in that ecosystem, I think, is very important. The people that you hang around are the people that you will be like. And so a corporate, someone in corporate America has very different problems or very different issues than an entrepreneur. And so hanging around entrepreneurs, you see that you have very similar issues or very similar problems that you're trying to solve. And so having more conversations like that will help you build a team, will help you build a company, will help you find an idea or a solution that will scale. And so having those conversations, I think, is the first step. And then the second step is finding the team that you can build around that can help you solve that solution. And then the next thing is finding customers, mm-hmm. right? How can you find those customers? And then it doesn't necessarily have to be in that order, but, you know, having the network, finding the team to help you build the solution, and then finding the customers that will purchase the solution.
So one of the things I'd like to know more about is how long it took you to develop Countify. You know, I think about tech and I think about startups in general. It's not always a overnight success. It can be years and years of people at it. So I'm curious to know, how long did it take for you to develop your software?
Yeah, so the developing of the software, I think, was not the problem. From an AI and computer vision perspective, there's a lot of advancements in that space. I think the real problem is, or the thing that takes the most time is going after enterprise level clients, right? Looking at that sales cycle, how long does it take to find the right person at a particular company, find that person that writes your check, right? That has that problem, that has that pain point. Finding those people are usually the problem, right? The issue that takes the longest amount of time. Mm-hmm. Like, so a sales cycle can be anything from 6 months to 5 years, mm-hmm. truthfully, depending on the type of clients mm-hmm. that you're going after. So us, we're going after, you know, global airlines. We're going after, you know, large scale hospitals. We're going after government agencies as well. Anyone that's really has manual accounting processes that they want or need a technological solution to help count things more efficiently. And so, yeah, so we started in the very beginning. We started and we were just focused on airlines.
Okay.
And so, as everyone knows, in 2020, 2021, then the pandemic hit, right? So with COVID-19, nobody was traveling, so no airlines were spending any money, no hotels were spending any money. And so that was a challenge. And so we actually had to pivot and broaden our customer base to not only airlines, not only travel industry, but also hospitals mm-hmm. that are also doing a lot of manual counting. There's government agencies that are doing a lot of manual counting. And so how can we expand? So to answer your question, I mean, we've been working on this indirectly for about 5 years.
Okay.
And then directly, Countify has been in existence about 2.5 years.
Okay. So what's the big goal, the big vision? If you were to say your dream client was so-and-so, like, what do you hope Countify will be in the next 5-10 years?
Yeah, so we want to be the number one AI and computer vision solution in inventory management, right? So that's in the airline space, that's in the healthcare space, that's in the government space. And so now we work with airlines to help count items like onboard inventory that comes off the plane. Think about your liquor, food, beer, wine that you enjoy while you're on the plane. Airlines can spend an enormous amount of money on these items with a large amount of waste. So how can we address that? The same thing with hospitals. Hospitals have a lot of high dollar inventory, whether it's robot arms or implants that knees and hips and shoulders and things like that, that are very high dollar, that still have a very, very manual counting process associated with it. And even your government industries, your schools, your universities, like, still have a lot of inventory, a lot of assets that still have a very manual counting process. And so in the end of the day, we want to be the number one AI-based inventory management solution.
Okay. Now, you are not only a Rice stakeholder, but you're one of our pace setters here. And what I'd like to know is just, how has being a part of the Rice ecosystem helped support your business? I can think of one right really interesting moment when we had Zimbabwe in the building. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that just was, I think, an impromptu kind of collision. So
right.
I'd love to hear more about just how being here and being a part of the ecosystem has helped drive Countify in your business.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really all about the network. about the people that you hang around. As I said, the more entrepreneurs you'll hang around, the more entrepreneur solutions that you'll have, the more entrepreneur conversations that you'll have. So we've talked to, yes, that airline that came was, I think they started a flight from, I think it was Ethiopia to Atlanta. And so that the Ethiopian airline contingent was doing a tour of the Russell Center. And so we did had a conversation, and we have had several conversations about how we can help them solve their problems. We found developers here, like we're actually bidding on a government contract now with another Russell stakeholder, another Rice stakeholder. And so it's just understanding what other people's companies do, what other skills that companies have, what problems they're trying to solve, and how can we collaborate and work together. So I think it's really about networking, collaboration, understanding that you can't do it by yourself. Like the Russell Center provides an entire group of other stakeholders that are also trying to build big, scalable businesses. And so if there's a way we can do it together, it makes it a whole lot easier to do it by yourself.
As a African-American business owner, what advice would you have to other aspiring entrepreneurs?
I would always say solve a problem. Like at the end of the day, there's a lot of businesses, a lot of companies out here that are hobbies, that are nice to have. It's cool. I think I want to do something. I think I want to do this. But until someone will pay you for that problem that you're solving, it's a hobby. Right. And so I would say solve a real problem and make sure you have real customer market fit. Right. How can your problem, because even though you might solve a problem, it still might be hard to implement in a company, at a business. Right. And so making sure you have those two key factors are really important to be scalable.
That makes so much sense. Now, one of the questions I like to ask also revolves around, how did you finance your business? Because like getting any kind of development started, especially software development and hardware development, because you probably have a physical hardware component mm-hmm. too. How did you fund that? How did you bootstrap it? Did you get institutional loans? How did you really get the money to hire your developers to build out your platform?
Right. So we're 100% bootstrapped. So it is, we've tried to raise through revenue. I think that's the best way, but also the hardest way to do it. We've talked to VCs, talked to institutional investors, and I think the saying is true, like African-American founders do not get the looks or do not get the funding that majority founders get, right? And so it's very true, it's very hard conversation. I was talking to a majority person about a week ago. He had an idea, got into a very popular accelerator, and from his idea has raised $3 million, right, in about 6 months.
Wow.
Right? It's very, very rare that you hear any African-American company do that. Mm-hmm. And so it's – and even that when you talk to VCs, it's still about that network. They – regardless of what they say, they're still very risk-averse. Mm-hmm. And so they need to have, in a sense, someone vouch for you or need to make sure that another VC knows you or who's you're going to be your lead investor. You might talk to a lot and say, I might not be a lead, but I'll come in as a secondary investor. Right. And so I think that network is still important. And so a lot of times African-American people just don't have that network of venture capitalists. Mm-hmm. And so I think how can we change the narrative, change our situation where we're being introduced to more and more venture capitalists, to more and more private equity, to more and more bankers, where we can have those funding conversations, especially when you don't need funding.
Mm-hmm. And you don't need funding. I know Jay says all the time, make your friends before you need them.
And exactly.
You want to have those checks before
exactly.
you need them too,
exactly.
Right? Well, thank you, David, for being here with me and having this conversation about your entrepreneurial journey. It's been so insightful, and I just want to, again, appreciate you for being a part of the Russell Center and our ecosystem and just being, you know, an entrepreneur who's out here doing it and not
no
giving
problem.
Up.
I appreciate you, and I appreciate everything the Russell Center does. You guys are a great ecosystem. The platform that you guys are providing is unsurpassed. I've been around a lot, and so having this facility is very important to Atlanta and beyond.
Thank you. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to another Sunday Conversation, where we are talking about the power of perseverance, innovation, and the spirit of entrepreneurship within the African-American community. I'm Ashley Scott. And for more information on today's episode, click the Sunday Conversations tab at smoothjazzatl.com.
Tune in every Sunday at 11 a.m. as we celebrate innovation, perseverance, and the entrepreneurial spirit. Sunday Conversations, hosted by Ashley Scott, only on Smooth Jazz 101, Smooth Jazz 100.